69, 215, 110. I'm going down Highway 110 in my big old pickup truck. I'm going down Highway 110 in my big old pickup truck. I'm going down Highway 110 listening to a podcast in my big old pickup truck.
Hey, it's Steifer, and welcome to the 100th episode of the 110 podcast. A podcast where I usually talk about one song in 10 minutes, but this week I collaborated with Mike of Black and Gold Studio in Whittier, California. And Mike graciously hosted my two favorite local bands, No Application Fee and Roam Apart. And they each recorded a little acoustic something-something for you. And you'll get to hear that in this episode. The mixes were done by Demo. Shout out to Demo. And both bands came together to listen and discuss. Shout out to Rod. As always, producer Rod edited this crazy, long, multi-mic'd track. Yeah, it came out good. I liked it. Again, I appreciate everyone who helped make this possible. I hope you enjoy this episode because I had a lot of fun getting together a total of three times, two times in the studios, and one time here with everyone at Mikasa. And with that, here's the 100th episode. All right, I'm here with Alex, Dustin, and Ryan from Roam Apart, and Andy and Gil from No Application Fee.
You guys suck.
Obviously, you guys were on the 110, you were on the Listening Party podcast, and I've invited you back again. Number one, because I feel comfortable with you guys, and number two, like, when I first discovered you with the 110, you quickly became Rod and I's favorite, like, bands. Like, we loved your music. And we've gone to see you several times. I've taken my nephew to see Roam Apart. He really digs you guys. And we've taken my mother-in-law to see No Application Fee. So
she gave me a kiss on the cheek. Were they shirtless?
I don't think Gil stripped that one.
No, I didn't.
Or stripped for that one.
The one rare show.
It was a Sunday. It was just a bunch of alcoholics. You know?
But yeah, so that's why I felt comfortable inviting you guys to do a little something different. So it's my 100th episode. And
congrats.
Yay,
congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, we don't have headphones. Hey, this fool said, don't worry about headphones.
Oh, you're missing out.
Hey, Dustin, you're wearing
sorry. Keep going.
No, sorry. Don't shut up, dude. Speak your truth.
99 different bands, and the 100th episode, I wanted to bring back you guys, my favorite, to do a little something different, because I had a studio reach out to me, Black and Gold Studio in Whittier, California. He wanted to collaborate on something, and I didn't know what that would be until, like, after we hung up the phone. I was like, you know what? I want to hear my favorite bands, but in a different light. Like, I just want to hear something different. Like, strip it down a little bit. You guys are always rocking with your electric, and, like, I've never heard you guys, like, soft and acoustic.
Very loud.
Yeah, we are loud.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to record a little something with you guys, like, acoustic, just stripped down. And I felt comfortable asking you guys, obviously, because I see you guys all the time. So, and you guys were up for it, and I appreciate that. And so thank you for taking the time to go to the studio and record that. I think it came out really cool, like, final product. We're here to listen to that today and talk a little bit more. A big reason why I invited you two guys, your two bands, is because you know each other. I've seen Roam Apart at No Application Fee shows, and I've seen No Application Fee at Roam Apart shows. You've almost, like, played in each other's bands, like, to fill in and stuff. So I thought you guys would be the most comfortable together as well. Anyways, so I'm going to ask Andy, how long have you known Roam Apart?
When did you guys start recording your last album?
2019.
2 years ago?
20? No, 2020?
No, I think it was way more than 2 years ago.
Shut up. Like,
it feels like 13? 2 years ago.
It was like, see? Concept of time.
Okay. Yeah. We started in 2019, I think.
Pre-COVID?
So what is that, 5 years ago?
No, our band.
Oh, so.
No. Remember, I met you guys at Light Black Productions.
Well,
I
mean, yeah. That was, that had to
well,
be.
Well, no, we were recording beer at the same time. So,
no, it was a little after.
You know, so it was 2021, I'm going to say.
21, yeah.
Yeah, I met them at Light Black Productions because
2021.
The owner of the studio called me and was like, dude, can you come help me? There's a band coming in and I might need your hands or whatever. And that's when I met these fools. And I think I've told this story on here before, yeah. So I won't say it again.
No, but that was the LPP. So, I mean, some people listen to both podcasts, but
so we anyways. Can repeat.
You could repeat stories. And Roma part, whoever wants to take it. How have you seen No Application Fee grow?
Well, shit. I would say the recording, the acoustic one you guys sent or that we got a little clip of.
Yeah.
You guys sound fucking sick, like the harmonies, singing. I think you guys grew in that way.
Thank you. That means a lot.
We're actually real big on harmonies. Whenever we hear, we're like, dang, look at that shit.
Yeah. And that's the worst part of our game, dude, our singing.
Yeah.
Why do you think I started rapping fucking 6 years ago? Because I was like, I am always in tune if I'm rapping.
You guys sounded really solid in that clip of the song.
Thanks, bro.
And I was like, oh, shit.
We're going
like,
to listen to both of these today, right?
Yeah.
Because, oh, okay, dude, cool. I'm going to... I was texting you, bro. I'm going to suck on your guys' dick. Fuck, dude.
And then I will say one thing. I think we're always like, you know, we kind of like what they do is they're really like crazy on stage and, you know, they put on a show.
Yes.
And it keeps it interesting. Like,
we gayed up.
I was going
to
say that.
You guys keep it interesting. And
that makes it hard for me to say how they've grown because I feel like since we've met you, you guys have always been on it with performances. You. Like it's always been...
And every time you guys play and we have to go up, we're like, fuck.
Yeah, we're like,
you know, we just stand there and play.
Couldn't have gone before.
You know what? I think that's why we work so well because if they go before us, I'm like, fuck. Fuck, dude. How are we going to top that? You know what I mean? But it's just, Rob, the first time the first time I walked in that studio, all three of them were in the other room and there's like cameras. So I'm in the control room and I don't know who these fools are. But I can hear everything they're doing because they're tracking the first album, right?
Yeah.
They're tracking the first album. And I don't remember what song it was that well. But I stood there and we all know me at least a little bit. I crossed my arms and I stared and I listened and I looked at the one in the studio, Rob, and I was like, yo. And he goes, I know. He's like, bro, you guys are going to fucking kill it together. He's like, you guys need to tour together. I hadn't even met these fools yet, but just off of Rob tracking them for an hour or two, he was like, bro, you guys were all meant to be here. But then I found out that they got that place because of us.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I forget.
Thanks to Dustin. He's the one that always reaches out. I don't know.
No. We had posted, I think, because we were all plugged in with your homies.
The ghetto audio team.
Yeah. We're all with that little Compton scene. And we had posted and you saw it and you reached out to the studio.
We saw them on some like live video thing.
Oh, at the garage.
Yeah. We forgot we did that.
Because he's friends with all them, remember?
And we're like, damn, that sounds pretty tight.
Shout out Lazy Dream.
What's up, guys?
We were like, damn, they sound pretty cool. So we followed them. And then on one of the stories, they're like, recording an album. We were looking for a place to go. But man, a lot of places, they charge you like an arm and a leg. And you're like, well, we're broke musicians, man. I can't pay that much.
And Rob undercuts cool, himself, man. Dude.
Yeah, he does.
He should charge way more for the services he gives.
Rob is great.
Yeah, Rob shout out cool. Light Black Production. Records your shit there.
He's almost like a producer at the same time, too.
Yeah, we love Rob because when we were doing our music and shit, he would be like, hey, I think this sounds cool if you do it this way or like...
Well, you know, you can't do that with everybody.
Yeah.
And when we would be alone listening to like your mixes after the first day or whatever, because I'd go, shut the fuck up, dude. Yeah, we'd be sitting there, like I'd be jerking him off and he'd be playing your mixes.
Really slow up, song. And
he would like, almost like eye to eye, because you know when like you feel like people are above you, they talk down to you? Mm-hmm. Almost like eye to eye, he'd be like, hey, I asked him to XYZ, what do you think of that? I think it's in gray where you whisper.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think of that?
Hell no. even when I was doing it, because I whisper like they put it.
Have you guys heard that before?
Behind the lyrics.
Because you have to have good speakers to hear it.
Yeah, you would have to put it out. But even when I was doing it, I felt fucking weird.
You felt weird? Yeah. Like,
you felt gay, huh?
Sorry, dude. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But you can't do that with everyone.
Yeah.
And he immediately brought up like, bro, these fools were super open-minded. to all the notes I had or things that I thought would be cool. Because in the end, if we don't like it, you cut it. Yeah. But if you don't record it, you don't have
Know. Yeah, yeah.
So that was the first thing he said about you guys after your first session was like, they're super open-minded. They're super talented.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the guitar player is really insecure.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I never sing. That's why.
He
made me start singing. So like, it was all new to me. Like,
well, see, and this all goes back to our growth. Yeah. These are stories we're telling.
It's going to be 30 minutes.
These are stories we're telling about when we met. So it's like, dude, I hope you feel more confident singing because you sing fucking great.
Even Alex would tell you when we first started practicing.
Oh, I'm gonna get on him next. Don't worry.
Yeah, we switched places.
When I do my screams, remember I'd be like, when it would get to the scream part, I wouldn't do it.
You're like, con huevos,
and he's like, just fucking do
it. You gotta come, dude.
Or like at practice, he wouldn't do it. He's like, I'm gonna leave it for the gig. Just do it now.
Dude, you know what's crazy about that? Can I speak real quick?
Yeah.
That there was this fucking professor we had that told us, like, you gotta practice, like, how you're gonna perform,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it easier to perform.
Yep.
Anyways,
and I remember I got on Alex's head because on the recordings there'd be these harmonies and live he wouldn't even have a mic.
Yeah.
So I remember calling him out at the show like, "Hey, bro, what the fuck? You don't got a mic?" He goes,
"No, I would hear about it from them too."
Good. You got it from all aspects. You know, I think
that's still a problem we have.
No, but I've solved the problem going into the next album by making the parts still cool, but not as like RAM heavy. Like I don't have to really.
Yeah,
because
you wailed
on
that
this.
For sure. But the growth from both of you guys on that—that's something that. I think that was the question that I see from you guys for sure, dude.
Last thing I'll say is Rod at one of the shows came.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the second voice? And I was like, oh, he's sick.
I was not.
It was a lie.
I will start doing it more, I promise.
Please.
Please.
I just wanted to know, like, you guys both brought a song to record. And I didn't ask like what song, I just asked for it to be acoustic. And I just want to know how you picked that song and how you prepared. So we'll go with No Application Fee. How did you pick your song and how did you prepare?
This is the only new one we have ready.
It didn't have to be new.
No, yeah, but still, no, it's just a fresh one. So like we've just been really playing it and it's fun and it gets stuck in your head.
I think we like to set deadlines for each other because then you get something done.
Yeah.
So it was like, yo, of the three new ones, this one's the most complete. And Deifer's telling us that we should go play it and track it. It's like a deadline. It's like, all right, let's fucking get it good enough that we can go record it.
Yeah.
And because you being a fan of all of our music, it was like, well, you deserve to be the first person to hear this.
You get the first juice.
No one had heard it until you play it right now.
Like, it's actually, nice. Except for Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Rob.
Because I showed him the first like tracking that I did for it.
Yeah, we wanted to like really spice it up. Make it because it's like it is like a soft song either way because we're gonna plan to do it, but like just making it acoustic and sounding super gay with our voices, like I think it was like you being like a big fan of ours is like, we should do this one for her because it's a dope, like, I don't know, I really like that song right now.
Yeah, fuck it.
No, song kind of, I loved it.
It kind of reminded me of like Café Tacuba, like some of the
slower
songs.
And he wrote it, dude. Like,
I didn't do shit, dude. I was like, fuck yeah.
And then how did Roma Park come up with, how did you guys come up with your song?
We did the opposite. So
we have a little group chat. We're like, so what song should we do?
It wasn't even the first choice. Huh?
I don't know.
I think we just decided Blackout because the new ones, the lyrics aren't set yet.
Yeah.
So we're not 100% sure. And we've done like, some of the other songs already. What about Blackout? Yeah. It sounds softer. You can do it softer. So it just kind of came up. We haven't done Blackout and other stuff, so we did it.
Yeah, our newer songs, we're still like fucking with them. So it's like, fuck, we weren't prepared to take it out like acoustically.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I dig it. That was my nephew's like favorite song, like when I shared the album with
Blackout?
Him. Yeah. I haven't shared it with him yet, but
you can do the harmonies more on that song.
We tried to choose a song where Alex can actually sing.
Yeah, yeah. And I did.
Why are we being so mean to Alex, though?
No.
Because of Rod, there's a piece in there that he created.
And it's my favorite piece of the play.
The outro. He made Alex do some little thing.
And that's what I think was cool, that we didn't go in like married to any idea for the song. He just, because we're like, what are we gonna do? There's no second guitar part. I play bass. Should I play the bass parts on an acoustic? Should I play my own thing? I kind of just told him to do what he plays live, and I'll just
riff
off of you, like just kind of fill in And so when you said that, it wasn't like, oh, now I have to change the part. It was just like, all right, cool. We could just do that. And it just blended perfectly.
Yeah, it sounded cool.
Oh, I liked it.
Don't even get me started.
Well, it's funny because he was just messing around at the end, and then he said, "Hey, what the fuck was that?" And then he's like, "I don't know.
Should I do
and
it?" He's like,
"You should put that in there." And so he had to refigure it out.
I want to apologize for laughing like a witch. I'm sorry.
It's fine. And I think with that, we're gonna play Roma Parts Blackout.
Yeah. I'm scared. I'm telling you, I was lucky, dude. I got to hear before it was mixed and after it was mixed. And then I heard it mastered. So I heard the process of like just your raw recordings, step one, step two. So
he basically was inside you, Holmes.
I'm putting both headphones on.
He gave you a colonoscopy?
Colonoscopy.
A pina colada.
That's when you stick it up their butt, right, with a camera. You
gotta everything out. Yeah. I do that for fun.
That's what you do with your music. He colonoscopized the music. You do that for fun? It's like it's like using a douche. Okay, let's hear the song.
You know what I'm talking. Hold on, stop it.
I'm just kidding.
Sound.
part of that song is Dustin's part. He was the best, the craziest.
He was social media manager for the day. Like, he took like one video.
I was like, that sounds bad. That sounds good.
That shit hits even harder. Acoustic, bro. That shit was crazy, bro.
The first time when I heard the master, I was on the 405 freeway going 2 miles per hour. I had a full blast. I straight up shed a tear, dude.
Shit.
Never lie to you, bro. I just chills. I was just like, and that's when I text you and I was like, I listened to a part like 3 days straight.
We were doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Fuck. I was like, fuck, this is a good song.
You know, it was funny because we were going back and forth between two versions of the acoustic. And I was like, fuck, one version, I sang it better. But this version,
texting Dustin about it. And he was like, can you change it back to take it?
Because on this version, the first two verses, the first line at the end, you can tell I go off a little bit, but I was like, fuck it, whatever. We flowed a little better on this version than the other one.
Usually if we go a lot of back and forth, it's not me. It's fucking
Ryan. I think we talked about it a little bit privately. Why didn't she use a bass?
He's a guitar player, man.
The way it was pitched was two acoustic guitars.
Who said that?
Someone here. It's definitely on our side. Oh, definitely group chat side.
You know what? I never see Alex as a bass player. I always know him for his guitar.
Facts.
Yeah. So when they said acoustic, I just told him right away, like, sense. Hey, can you back me up with another acoustic guitar? Yeah. So I didn't even think about him bringing an
bass acoustic bass.
Like, it didn't even cross our minds. Like,
because the second I saw your video on the story or whatever, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, we talked about it, and he was like, fuck, you had an acoustic bass. Yeah. And I was like, you didn't? He was like, I played guitar, dude.
Looking back, though, if we would have done it with an acoustic bass, it would have sounded good. It would have sounded more accurate, I guess, like to the album version. But I kind of like this one.
Oh, I loved it. That shit was,
it's different while being the same. It's what you wanted, the
stripped down version.
Stripped down. And kind of fresh, but still something familiar. Still, you know the lyrics. You still know the general like pace of the song.
Yeah.
But it's just like
he would have done the same thing on the whatever.
I would have done the same
bass part. Yeah.
You know, on the mixing and mastering side, there were slight issues with getting lows out because there was no lows.
Yeah.
There's no bass, so in your and because of the way it was mic'd at the studio, there was like some phasing issues.
Yeah.
But he took the most lows he could out of your voice to fill up the sound. That's because the first mix we heard, it was very like two-dimensional.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he tried to like spread them out and add different lows on both your guitars and on the vocals to try to make it sound like a full recording.
Nice.
Yeah. It was really good. Guys,
I like how good it sounds for how easy it was for him to do it.
Yeah.
It was just one mic. We weren't even plugged in. It was just kind of capturing what was going on in the room at the time.
Yeah.
And I was
it's a real performance.
Yeah. And I was kind of worried about it in the beginning because I was like, I'm not going to buy an entire acoustic guitar to go do this. So I used the one that like I normally practice with, which was just like a normal, like it's a Martin, but it's like a lower Martin. Yeah. You know? So I was like, and then I hadn't changed the strings for like 5 years.
They're pretty bad. The Ibanez that I use, dude, I've fucking had it for like 10 years now, I think. Like,
you ever change the strings?
No, yeah, I have, but it's been probably a year since.
Yeah, no, these had some stories. And I was like, I'm gonna just take it like that. Like,
fuck it.
And you know what's fucked up? The engineer called it. He was like, there were some dead strings going on. So for you to say that, I'm like, damn, that motherfucker's always right, dude.
He's always right. And I don't know. Like, I like changing strings and I like having the fresh thing. But like,
once they're dialed in,
not even just once it's dialed in, but like, it's going to sound good if you're playing good or if the song is good or if the vibes are good, you like the song, whatever. It's going to sound cool regardless. Yeah, like, it doesn't matter if the strings are fresh. It doesn't matter if the strings are dead. If you like it, it's gonna sound good. And so I was like, we're just gonna go and this is what it's gonna be. And you know, it doesn't have to be cleaner. This is just what it is.
Yeah.
And
Alex always has to remind me, like, hey, just
it is what it is. Yeah. Chill. Like, this is as good as it's gonna
get. Would you consider yourself like a perfectionist?
I don't want to sound like shit, so like I'm always saying like fuck, like
you're just really hard on yourself.
Yeah. So and then he comes in like, just relax, man.
But it, yeah, because you've got
that's fairly new, though, because in the beginning we were all the same. But yeah. I think releasing with the group, things that I've been like, I don't know. And then you see kind of how they grow and how they help you get better. I kind of just learned to let go, like just put out what you have in you right now, and then later you'll do something better, and you know. Because I'm really stressed about it too much.
I was shitting it with the acoustic thing. I fucking love watching videos like acoustic versions and shit like that. So I was like, well, fuck, I could never do that. And then there goes these guys. Hey, you want to come do an acoustic version? I was like, fuck.
I had a student recently who was like a good dude. He's the one who plugged us in at Fox to get on like the NFL games. He's been my student for fucking since pre-COVID. I don't think this is like disrespectful to say, but it's like there's only a certain cap he's going to get by because it's a grown ass man with a full time job. So he just wants to stay in this pool and learn more of that. And he's a huge Foo Fighters fan. And I don't know what it was, if it was Tara or what, but it was always this like joke about the Foo Fighters suck in our house. So I never gave him a chance. And then my student kept driving and I would listen.
They're dope.
Dude, they're fucking dope. So he couldn't learn any of the electric versions, even on acoustic, because the electric versions, he's a punk rock guitar player. So he's always just fucking picking, right? There's always a bunch of versions like we talked about, but there's one version of Everlong acoustic that just touches me, dude. And I taught him exactly that one. And even that one. So Gil, for years, that's his secret weapon. When he's going to pull a little thang thang, bust out his guitar and plays her a song. I finally got one now, Everlong acoustic. So I was never into it, but recently as I started hearing acoustic versions, I get it.
Yeah. I think Defer has a question.
What? Oh, no. Well, I just wanted to comment like that I loved this whole like experience. And like I said, I had never been in a recording studio. My album was recorded like here in the house or whatever. We're very DIY. Obviously, we're back in the house again.
It's the best.
It was just amazing, like to see like every like buddy's role and stuff. And I thought it was gonna come like I loved it, but I honestly thought it was gonna come out like way softer because when we first started, Ryan was singing like very softly, and I was like, "Oh wow, he's like really taking it down." And then, like, I didn't know like what the final project was gonna be because Alex was just throwing out all of these things, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, talk about like just like beast on the guitar, just like different things, and I was like, "Whoa!" And then there was a cajon, but I just wanted to ask like Dustin, like, why didn't you want to?
Because
like,
fuck him, that's why. Because fuck him.
Lazy ass motherfucker.
I'm not lazy, man. I just don't know how to play the cajon. People think it's just
you're
a
not
box,
a hand. Yeah, dude. Hand drum is a totally. Everyone listening, it's a totally different fucking.
And I used to play it when I could.
Oh, well, then you have no fucking excuse, bro.
Right?
You just shot yourself in the. I was backing you up, dude.
I played it when I played.
Those
with,
beautiful socks aren't going to save you.
Hey, I saw the Stan socks.
Oh, we got it. Nice. No, but I did it when I did Norteño, but I told these guys I didn't play it. Like, that's not how you play it. Like, you don't use it for Norteño, really, but I had to because they were paying me. But here, just I don't know. I just didn't think it was going to sound that great for this song to me. So I was like,
I was begging him to play it. I was like, please play it because I'm used to playing with them.
That's
with
what we rely on.
Loud ass drums and bass.
And Dustin hits those fucking drums.
Yeah. Hey, but you did great, dude.
You guys did so good, bro.
I appreciate it.
I literally started crying like a bitch right now, dude. It was insane. Like, I couldn't look at anybody in the eye for a second, dude.
I actually looked up and I was like, no one's looking. Okay, good. I'm
just going to. For real, that shit, like, that song is fucking.
Thank you.
I'm like, it was a good test to your timing, though.
You know, that was the first song that we felt was like, shit, like.
It's a good song.
Like, we had like something down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you write that before or after Gray?
I think before.
Before.
Obviously, there's a bunch of good songs, but those are the two, bro.
That major seventh break that you guys do is fucking dope.
And the way Rob mixed it, where it just. Every time it just gives me goosebumps, dude. I actually, when I sent Rob the acoustic versions of both, and we talked about you guys for a little bit, and I was like, yo, as a songwriter, I look at that as like the bar.
I don't even want to hear our song anymore.
Like Blackout and Gray for me is like a bar where it's like, can I write a song that good, dude?
No, dude, we're too focused on writing about pussy, dude. Writing about deep feelings here.
Hey, that's why I got to start writing about death.
Technically, Blackout's about dying.
Dude, when I heard your podcast with Deeper last time and you said that joke, I was like, huh. Well, what do you like know? These guys
anymore. None of us have big cocks, so we can't sing.
Gil's the only one, man.
It shrunk.
That's why I talked about his cock in that song.
Ladies, I do not have a big cock. Come at me.
And I also want to say, like, we were guessing, like, for Roma part, what instruments you guys were going to... Like, we didn't know if Dustin was going to play cajon. We weren't sure if, like, Alex was going to bring a guitar. And, like, we kind of, like, geeked out when we saw you with the guitar. And we're like, oh, yeah, like... Because you guys have always said that Alex is a guitar player. So, yeah, like, we were excited to see that.
But
like,
I had never really played guitar with them before.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because we've always seen you on
bass. That's the first time I've recorded acoustic guitar ever.
I don't,
like, not in my room. Or
even at the recording, I think that's the first time I've heard them play guitar together.
Yeah.
That was the first time I heard us play too.
There was one time where we had a gig at LB's, Cal State Long Beach, where we had that video recording or whatever. And we did some versions of the first album with acoustic guitar, nylon, and in your living room or in your mom's living room.
I don't remember that at all.
Was I the only one there? Remember, dude, there was a
time before it was for your buddy's thing.
Oh, it might. I mean, I don't know.
No, it was at the Cal State, Long Beach.
Remember Benjamin. They were recording us for the film class.
You guys were practicing the songs because it was the first time we were ever going to be recorded.
I was so nervous.
Yeah, imagine if we could do that now.
Shit, that'd be cool.
Oh, I wish we could do that now. No, we're not prepared that day. Well, we were somewhat, but we just didn't have the experience.
You guys were prepared. I was not prepared at all.
Don't regret the things that didn't happen, dude. It's for a reason.
Alrighty. And with that, we're going to listen to Lo Siento. Woo-hoo! That's the name, right?
Yeah. Lo Siento.
Oh, okay. Lo Siento.
I'm not clever.
By no application fee.
I'm not starting until that band stops.
I used to work.
One, two, and three, I'm gay.
Lo siento, siento, lo siento, lo siento, lo siento.
Nice. Yeah, it does remind me of
Cafeta. I'm going to say, I always bring this band up, but when you guys start playing, it reminds me of the Growlers, one of my favorite bands.
Nice.
It gets that feel. And then when you start singing, it changes my mind to Cafeta Cuba.
Nice. Both fantastic comparisons. Thank you.
Yeah. But that song is fucking nice, man.
Thanks, dude. It's about pussy.
It's about personal experience.
It's about death.
It's about death.
Yeah. So to see you guys like stripped down with acoustic instruments was really great to see. Cause like, I mean, obviously when I first had you on the 110, I was like, oh, my favorite song is like Funkmaster.
Which the is horniest song of them all.
It's completely different. And when you guys started warming up at the studio, it was funny. Like we joked, I was like, oh, I didn't know Andy you could actually sing.
We've been doing vocal exercises. It wasn't a joke. No, yeah, it's facts. Yeah. Dude, we've been doing, I found like on Apple Music or on Spotify, there's like a vocal coach who was like, exercise one, exercise two. Oh, and there's every time we're on our way to a rehearsal or to a gig, we just do it the whole way there.
Oh, shit.
And then all of a sudden, our intonation. Do you know what intonation is?
No.
Your accuracy of notes. Nice. So, for my lies. And holding that, sure. I could never do that before. It'd be like, for my. And it would kind of shake. And it started like building these muscles in places that I was too busy going, you know, fucking, Gil's dick is so big, blah, blah, blah.
Actual lyrics from the application.
So we started, we've been doing more and more copyright of these vocals, especially we'll be like, drunk as fuck. I mean, it's a little different for us because we've been living together for so long. But we'll be drunk as fuck and be like, come on, dude, let's play. And sometimes instead of playing, we'll just do vocal exercises. And we'll just laugh our asses off because we're drunk. But
no, this is the first time we put it out.
We were so bad.
Like, this is so ridiculous, but then it works. And it's like, there's one where you have to say lemon liniment or something.
You're like, yeah.
You end up saying lemon.
Lemon liniment, lemon liniment, lemon. But we kept saying lemon, liniment. And it was just...
Goddamn Mexican.
But no, thank
are
you
guys sure you don't play North Daniel? Yeah.
But no, thank you guys for the compliment. Because that was... I mean, we all know my personal life enough to know that last couple of years were different for me. So it was like, because we're musicians, where are we going to channel that?
Yeah,
our music. There's a lot of truth to all of it, but I wanted to write something that...
resonates.
Men can relate to everywhere. Gil told me that when he showed someone that.
I showed it to one of my coworkers and he was like, damn, dude, I need to be better with my wife.
I want men to hear that and be like, it's like he wrote this song for me.
Yeah.
I took the Blitzkrieg Bop method and did almost the same verse twice. I just changed the first line. Mm-hmm. And
I just played two chords. Straight
the fuck up. When you sent me the videos from the studio, you know how we were laughing at the beginning? We couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
So if you see us, like, I don't know how it didn't come through the mic because we had to stop looking at each other because we were cracking up. And literally a millisecond before I had to start singing, I just like shook it off and just sang.
That's crazy.
Which is stupid, dude.
Lock in.
Which is so. And I think that's something that I take a lot of pride in with our band is that as dumb as we are, as out of pocket as shit that we say, it's time to play, let's play,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, know? That's cool though.
No, yeah. I definitely want to mention you guys, no application fees, time in the studio was like so much faster. Like I should have known because number one, you guys live together. Like I know you probably practice, but the way you guys just lock eyes, and I know you said you were laughing, but it's also just like, you know that there's a connection when you start like playing, like so much like deeper. And
I'm gonna cry again.
Dude, we're going on 19 years of being best friends, dude.
Yeah. And I know, like, Ryan and
Dustin
fucking
are brothers.
Dude, you know? I know, but it's just, it's different when you see you guys. And that's, I always post, like, those dumb pictures where you're, like, looking at each other, but I was like, dude, it's so true. I don't know, like,
find someone that looks at you the way you
guys, like, that's why none of my relationships have worked out. It's
hard. Like, you love Andy more, and it's like, well,
yeah, it's true. Hey, he's not even kidding.
It really is true.
I'm like a problem to his relationships.
No, I think it's funny with my brother. Well, he plays the drums, and I play the guitar, so it's completely different. It's not a string instrument. So he never, I mean, we never really sing together or anything like that, so I can definitely see, like, you know, when you're always singing together or whatever, like, you get this other connection.
We have sex together,
and then us before, it's like kind of like, oh, just pick up your drums and your guitar, we're gonna go gig it, you know, like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Boom. Ever since we started this music, it's like, okay, all three of us in a room, like, you get that connection in the room.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, well, we don't live together. So.
No, but that goes back to what we said earlier about practicing like you play.
Yeah.
And I mean, we know an application fee history that we've had, you know, fucking four drummers and these musicians in and out, because it's like, nobody's really about it, dude. Nobody's really about it. So we're in practice and you're half-assing it. But me and Gil, we go harder at rehearsal than we do on stage.
Shit.
Think of us on stage, the hardest you've ever seen us go. We go harder at rehearsal. I swear to God, dude. On stage, we'll try to clean up just a little bit, because it's like, okay, if I headbang a little less, I'll be cleaner.
Yeah.
Where at rehearsal, it's like, that's my nut. And I'm just going hard. And Gil too. Like, we'll be crazy. And shit. And the eye connection thing, it's kind of gay.
Super gay.
It's kind of gay, but I don't know what it is, dude. We've just been doing it for 20 years almost.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like love.
Common law marriage.
Yeah, dude.
Pretty much.
Well, it was when you, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you write some of the lyrics for the album?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all lyrics we kind of like split up a little bit.
Half and half.
Yeah.
Wow. So that goes back to, like, they may not look at it that way, but that connection, dude, writing songs with people is hard.
Yeah.
That's and, a big thing between us. We're like, I'll write a song, like, for example, Blackout. I wrote it, but I give it to him. And I'm like, hey, go through it, man. He's like, this line sounds whack. Like,
fix this. That's trust.
Maybe, like, do this and this. And I don't take it personal, but it's just, we don't want it to sound like, I don't want it to sound cheap. You know?
If you think I look nervous sometimes, this fool gets nervous when I ask him, send me your lyrics.
No.
Nobody looks at the drummer as a
lyrics. Bro, I've lyrics. Never,
dude, Neil Peart used to write most of the lyrics.
For not
Rush.
Dustin Roman.
Yeah.
I can't write those lyrics.
He also wrote Grey, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So the two fucking songs that I just over.
Nice. Well, I would have said, I wrote it, but like, there's paragraphs. He's like, I'll leave the paragraph. And I'm like, I put it in quotations. I'm like, I just wrote it. I was like, I don't even know if it makes sense. So he'll be like, maybe we'll do this.
Do you guys have the original writings of those?
Cool. Probably somewhere. But
then we'll give it to Alex and he'll go through it. He's like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Or maybe we could try this. So whenever anybody says like, who wrote the song? It's like, well, all of us did, you know? Like we all did.
It's funny because we play the song, right? We practice it and everything. And then like when we go record with Rob, I'll bring my lyrics and be like, okay, let me try to start singing the lyrics so I can remember them. And I start singing them.
Remember me.
So, so now hearing the lyrics, it gives me a whole new light of what the song's about.
We didn't have any, like, for that first album that you saw us recording, all of them had placeholder names. We had like bare bones lyrics and everything. And the day we were going to do vocals, he showed up with like a little stack of just lyrics. And I was looking through, I'm like, these are cool. Like, I didn't know that they said this.
Between both of you guys?
Yeah.
Damn, that's fucking odd. See, and it's such a different approach to no application fee. Mm-hmm. Because we look here perfectionists. We're not stepping in the studio till we're 100% sure what we want to do, dude. Same with, like, even coming in with Lo Siento. Like, how many days did we practice it straight to really get prepared?
None.
No, we did like three.
No, because we practiced individually because we just haven't. I think we practiced maybe five times together.
Yeah.
But the song had already been like established too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like we were just like, oh, like, well, it's just five times. Like, but like actually for the performance, we just did it like
couple. Well, now I can't wait to hear that shit on the album because that song sounded cool.
Well,
now I want to see what it's gonna sound like now.
You know what I like about you guys' songs? You kind of have like a jam session in each song, like wrapped up into one song.
Nice,
it's just fucking jamming. See, that's what it sounds like to me.
It's just I didn't come from a jazz background, and Gil did. So my whole background was classical. I played French horn, so it was reading music, sight reading. So I'm not good at improv. I'm not good at it.
Me too.
I've been trying to get better at it, but I'm not good at it. I like playing a performance of the same song and trying to make it better than I did last time. So even at rehearsals, it's something that I think over, especially over the last like year or two, I've told Gil like my expression of how I want to get better at that. But it's just like, I like writing. Mm-hmm. Our writing process is
slightly different.
Don't show each other something till you're like, this is becoming a song. And the other person hears it and goes,
yeah, that shit's
good, dude. Where how you guys are saying it's like, oh.
We're just jamming out. Like literally it's, Blackout, he's like, yeah, I found his guitar thing. And he did, it was like 10 seconds. It was that, yeah. Huh?
Shut up, is it really that?
No, actually with Black, you're saying Blackout?
Was it that one?
No, with Blackout, I hit a chord.
Oh yeah,
Hey, Gil heard it and said the seven chord. Dude.
I hit it accidentally. He was trying to hit another chord and he like fucked a finger up and he did that.
It was perfect.
And I immediately heard it and I was like, "We
do
need
you remember
that.
What I told you? My first impression of them at the studio when I actually sat with them. You're recording vocals and recording guitar, and that's when I knew that Alex was trained. Yeah, because he looked at Ryan and was like, "Dude, do the minor seven," and Ryan was like. And he's like, put your pinky down, pick up your, there you go. Do that.
That's exactly how our studio
I was
are.
I was there. I saw it.
Me and Ryan don't know how to read music.
I hit that chord.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but like at a first grade level.
At a first grade.
No.
Yeah, but I hit that chord and he was like, hey, that sounded fucking nice. He was like, actually, why don't you pick it? And I was like, all right. Doo-doo-doo. He's like, oh, but go back and forth. So we started like breaking it down like that, like do-do-do-do. And then he was like, how about if we then go into like the minor like kind of thing? And then that's when we switched into the minor and then just created this.
That's
like
producing,
that.
Bro. You just need to get into producing other artists, other friends of yours. That's literally producing.
Yeah.
That's why everyone sucks on Rick Rubin's dick, because that's exactly what he does.
The clip where he brought the guitar piece was Hazy Dream.
Oh, Hazy Dream, that's right. Yeah.
I just want to say, like, I hope you had a good experience. Like, I hope you got something, like, out of this. And, I like, thank you for your time again. Because I love this. Because I learned something. Like, I took it as a learning experience. And, like, I really like acoustic stripped down stuff. And then just when the personality comes through, everything was so, like, stripped down and different for Roma part. And then, like, when Noap jumped into the studio or whatever, like, the laughing. I'm sad it didn't come through more. Like, you could kind of hear it in the beginning and the end. But it was, like, I was like, oh, man. I was like, this is going to be it. Like, because I want that laughing in it.
And you know I
but
fucked
up. But it didn't
up.
Come up. Where? When?
I fucked up the words bad. And
oh, I didn't.
Nobody knows.
Well, No,
the first word was supposed to be baby girl. It's fine, just leave. And I was like, girl, because I was laughing. I was fucking laughing, dude.
You can't tell.
And that's why. Also, the guy at the studio was like, "Which take do you guys like? It's your music." I was like, "Bro, we're professionals. Pick a fucking take. I'll take any of them, bro."
Yeah.
We showed up prepared. You know what I mean? 1, 2, 3, 4, doesn't matter, bro.
Yeah.
I'll be happy with it. They all kind of looked at each other like, this is the one. We're like, all right, do that one.
Nice.
Let's go.
I was laughing because we got there. She was like, yeah, I hit up the studio guy. Yeah, we just want to record, you know, a song, acoustic. We'll be in and out. And he's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
How long were you guys there?
Like an hour, like 2 hours, though?
1 or 2 hours.
That wasn't that long.
I would say 2 hours, probably.
Seven takes, eight takes, more?
Nah, but where he actually recorded was like the two.
Yeah, he probably did it like 4 or 5
times.
It's like
before we turned the mics on, how we said that when you pay for studio time, you have to incorporate those first couple hours of just getting everything
set
ready
up
to go.
Yeah. I didn't know that until like, you know, he explained it, like Mike at Black and Gold explained everything. And then like we went in and I was like, oh, I was like, so this is how it goes. So like I said, it was very like eye opening.
They should see how long it takes when you add drums.
Yeah. I know, anytime anybody asks me like, hey, can you record? I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, there goes my night, because I know it's going to take forever. Because they have to mic everything and then level it. And that's like an hour and a half. The drums are a pain in the ass. I don't know why I didn't choose a flute or something.
And the drums are everything. If you get a good drum recording, you got a good song.
Yeah.
You could have the perfect vocal, guitar, bass, flute, trumpet. But if those drum tracks sound like shit, your whole track sounds like shit.
That's true. Yeah.
And then, so moving forward, do you guys have anything planned? No application fee. What's any plans for the future?
Gato.
What's coming up?
No, yeah, I mean, keep. I don't know, Andy. You answer that. Did you answer this question?
We're going to El Paso.
We're going to El Paso. Check us out over there, El Paso, Texas.
That'll already have passed, but
that's gonna okay. Oh, passed. We just played El Paso. We played a great show. El Paso.
Shit was crazy, dude.
We're gonna orgies. Get some socks. We're gonna get some hats. We're gonna have an orgy in Studio City at 111 Ventura Street, California.
Boulevard.
No, yeah, I think just check us out on Instagram. We'll keep posting silly stuff.
Our plan for this year was to, when we put out the album, I don't think we got as many streams as we hoped for. We got a couple royalty checks, which was super tight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you have to pay to play, dude.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
A lot of money to go into it. And then as I track insights, the first two songs are your bangers. It goes down. Even if your best song is last, unless you're somebody and you pay for those promotions, people's attention spans suck.
Yeah.
We had kind of talked about how Lo Siento, we have two other ones that this year at the back half, the last 6 months, we're just going to focus on singles.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on singles because even when we did the Fox thing, they had asked me like, do you have the acapella version? Do you have the acoustic or do you have the fucking instrumental? There's like 4 or 5 versions that they need, which is just more money. Because you have to have someone pay to mix all of them. Then the same guy's got to master all of them, which is different. So it's like one single needs 10 masters. Damn. That's as expensive as a fucking album. But Gil and I had said we were going to do it right this year. And we were going to put out maybe, we'd like to put out 6 songs. But in reality, I'm going to shoot for 4. If we can put out 4 singles before the end of the year and do them properly, space them out. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this and any other musicians listening. To be on a organic Spotify playlist, you have to upload the song to Spotify with X amount of time before it comes out. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you want it to come out in December, you have to put it out 3 months before so that Spotify gives you an actual chance for it to be in a playlist because they want first dibs on the music. So if you're like, oh, we're dropping a song this Friday and you upload it on Monday, there's zero chance that you're going to be in a playlist. Organically from Spotify. So for instance, let's say we finished Lo Siento at the end of the month. It would be dumb for us to drop it in May. It would almost be dumb to drop it in June. It would make more sense to drop it in July to give 90 full days of letting the algorithm start doing its own thing.
Dang.
I hate this, but I have literally like bought 3 different music business books to spend on my downtime instead of jerking off. Cause I'm like, dude, we want to make this a career. Like,
Yeah,
it's fun and it's this and that, but imagine not going to work. And I know me and Gil sell and grow weed for a living, so it's not that fucking bad. But imagine if we only played music all the fucking time and like didn't live check to check. We're literally like, bro, I got fucking money in the bank, my family's good, and we got to go on tour. That's the goal. So when we dropped the album and we tried to go the other way and owned all the masters and the copyrights and blah, 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 blah. Got the LLC, all that shit.
Yeah.
We played at Alex's bar the other day.
Yeah.
And you have to fill out a like a W-9 form or whatever to get paid for that. We got an EIN and all that shit. But it's still not enough.
No,
so that's why me and Gil were like, let's approach it differently this year. Let's try singles. Let's try a lot of promotion. And let's try, I hate to say it so bluntly, but let's try just throwing fucking money at it. Because how much money did you guys throw in the studio? How much money did we throw in the studio? It's a lot.
Yeah.
So instead, what if we take one song at a time and all the money we would have spent doing a whole album, put it in promotion? Mm-hmm. Pay the influencers. Pay fucking Facebook Live. Pay for whatever the fuck. If we got to throw $3,000 at a song each and promote it, all it takes is one to pop.
All it takes is one.
That's all it fucking takes. So that's the approach we took for 2024. And I think that's what I want to answer by saying in store we have is taking a different approach than we did in 2022 when we dropped the first album and going on tour as much as we can. Gil has always influenced me in the most that he just wants to play. Mm-hmm. And while I think sometimes more about the business side and the blah, 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 Gil keeps me level of handling that side of being like, let's fucking play. So we want to just drop singles and start expanding outside of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And just play everywhere we fucking
coming
can.
For the world, Chico.
Nice. And for Roma part,
We're gonna do a 6-song album.
They're gonna gate up with us.
No, I mean, we're just doing the album right now. Yeah. 6-song, then we're playing around. We had different gigs and stuff, so we're just doing that.
I wish we had Andy's intelligence.
Yeah.
Nah, we're in this together, bro. What the fuck? You guys got it.
We're just on some like, let's record the 6 songs that are. Let's
I feel
go.
Like we're more chill.
I'm like on the opposite. Our Spotify, I thought we were gonna get 10 views, and we got more than I thought. So.
Yeah, we're gonna do 6 songs. We started recording a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
we're gonna do another session probably in 2 weeks, and then yeah.
It's funny because I approach the music thing a little different than like, I've always wanted to play music that my friends liked.
Yeah.
Because playing Norteño, I'm a freelance. So I just go a singer. Hey, I need a drummer today. Cool, I'll go. My buddies, hey, who are you going with? I'm going, nah, that fool sucks at singing. I'm like, shit. So like, they don't go see me because they don't like the singer, or they don't go see us because I don't like that guy. Me and him, I was like, I've always wanted to have a band where like, my friends like the music. Like, and I'm like, oh, cool. So now like our friends are like, oh, I like that song. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Nice. So, I mean, it's cool.
See, but you've been a gigging musician from day one. That's the dream. Yeah.
It's a little different.
It took us 15 years in the game to start getting paid fucking gigs.
Yeah, it's a whole different world.
Well, this is our like first rock band. All three of us.
And we're still not getting paid.
Yeah. We're not
getting paid. Hey, there's no money in rock, dude. You got to do the... We didn't start getting paid till we do covers, bro.
Yeah. That's
We started doing like restaurants and stuff.
We used
like,
to play restrooms.
In the men's room? Yeah, we spray you cologne and play you a song. We didn't start getting paid till then.
Yeah. That's the thing. You used to get paid for the covers. Yeah.
Do you guys have like maybe like a month that you're going to release the new EP or no?
We're hoping
like, we are not like Andy. we're not well prepared.
But we are hoping to finish it. We're hoping to finish it soon.
Yeah. What, another 2 sessions?
Hopefully, maybe three.
Or in the summer sometime we'll do it. We might have to hit up Andy and be like, hey, so what should we do?
I'm a tool, bro. Use me.
Yeah, he is my tool, though. So you got to pay rent.
And I just want to leave this time for any shout outs. So I'm going to shout out Demo like right in the beginning.
Nice.
But I mean, just shout out to Demo who mixed.
David Moncayo from El Paso. Hit him up for all your mixes, Go masters, tracking in El Paso. He is the wizard. There's nothing Demo can do.
Thank you, Rob.
It's funny because we're the only ones that call him Demo because he's like super Mexican. So everyone calls him Moncayo, which is his last name. But we can call him Demo.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know him. So, like, you just said Demo, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's hey, what it is.
Can I tell that quick story? It was so funny. Before we did all of this, she had kind of brought up, like, where we were going to do it, who's going to mix it, how we can do it. And I was like, I got you, bro. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And we're at the studio. You guys already recorded. We just finished recording, and she goes, who do we send this to? Who's going to mix it? I'm like, hold on, let me make a phone call. And right there on the spot, I'm like, yo, what's up, Demo? You want some work? All right, I'm going to email it to you. And she's like, you're barely calling him now? I was like, bro, these are gigging musicians.
You know,
they want them.
You know, it's funny. She was like, okay, we finished recording and we stepped outside to go to our cars and stuff. She was like, all right, so I think Andy's going to probably do all the mixing, like the contact for the mixing and all that stuff. All right, cool. We didn't even know we were going to get mixed. Like, we just thought we were going to record and send it out like that.
That's what's up. It's so cool because like
you, Andy.
He has Gil. He has El Paso.
I didn't do shit, dude. Don't thank me for nothing, dude.
He has El Paso prices, and I tell him what LA prices are, and we meet in the middle.
Oh, dang.
So to us, it's I don't like to use the word cheap because that's a derogatory term.
Well, it's a win-win. We'll say that.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Affordable.
Nice.
I'd like to shout out Defer and Rod and the and both podcasts. Yes.
Guys, your house is thank so you. Clean.
I know.
Always. That's Rod.
Is that really you, bro?
Like dude, 5 minutes before you guys
thank
got here.
You, bro.
That's a good man right there.
This is the second time we've been in this house, and every time I walk in here, me and Gil are like, we got to do better, dude.
I would definitely take a shit in your restroom.
That's the best way to describe how clean it is. No hesitation.
Nope. I wouldn't even put paper down.
Yeah, shout out Light Black Productions.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Sure. Shout out Rob.
Yeah.
Shout out we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him.
Shout out to Andy's mom.
Shout out to Gil's mom.
Yeah.
Can't wait to kiss you again.
Shout out to my sister.
Shout out to your sister. You fucked up. Should have been me.
Yeah, shout out to my soon-to-be nephew or niece. Who knows? Shout out to Roma Park. Shout out to all the gays in the world and everybody else in that spectrum.
Thank you, guys. It's pretty crazy that, I don't know, we're just two local bands and we got selected for this 100th episode.
Hey, honestly, you're a monster, dude. Nobody puts on local bands.
Yeah.
Nobody except I've never met anyone else that puts on local bands like you do. And we all appreciate all 100 bands you've put on. 99? Yeah. All 99 bands you put on, we appreciate you.
That's dope, dude. Yeah.
Thank you.
I've never felt more respected from someone saying that, hey, we only do bands that are under 1,000. I was like, it's nice.
Wait, she didn't tell us that.
Oh, she told us that.
She knew how big we felt about things like that. She didn't want to hurt our feelings.
Yeah. I made the exception for some of you guys. Roma Part, I think you guys had a little bit over 1,000 when
we have a few that
must have been 1,002 or
1,001.
Yeah. It feels good until you go to another band and they have like 100,000.
But they pay for a lot of those, so don't trip.
Yeah. It's all about money, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know 1,000 people, so that's cool.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. Shout out to Black and Gold Studio in Whittier, California. Again, shout out to you guys. Thank you. And Podhead Rod, or Producer Rod.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And thank you for always, like, going to our shows.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate
honestly,
that.
Honestly, we appreciate
wait,
that.
Wait, you always go to their shows? You've come to one.
No. I just like, hey, we
got the mother-in-law.
I do got to laugh because every time they show up, I see Ryan's face. Fuck, we got to play City Lights today.
Yeah, because Rod likes City Lights, the song. Yeah, and that's the one I sing the highest, like,
that's where you pushed yourself,
and like when I sing it live, for sure, my voice goes out kind of, and I'm like, fuck. Every time he shows up, god damn it.
So stop going to the show.
Well, now we gotta take my nephew. Nice. He's like, when's Roma Park playing where I can go?
You're like, when are you 21?
I know, seriously. There's all ages.
Hurry up
show.
And grow, nephew.
And that was my 100th episode. I hope you enjoyed those songs, that insight, the tips from the bands. Next week, I'll be back with 10-minute episodes. And as always, thank you for listening. I hope you listen next time. Support your local bands and say hi to your dog for me. Bye.